Welcome to the Dropkicks. It's Hayden, Mouth of South Green here, with Sideline Mike.
Hello.
Right, so we've got the usual biz, international rugby and IRB-related news, and then, of course, our Southern Hemisphere-related rugby, which is what I've decided, considering last week there was the top-tier, lower-tier problem. I've decided international rugby with nothing to do with Southern Hemisphere teams. International rugby with stuff that has to do with Southern Hemisphere teams. That's how we're going to do it.
Geographically separated, then.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, along those lines. Yeah. Along the equator.
Equator.
Because it's all equal along the equator. Sports news, we've also got some wacky around the world, and athlete and dick of the week, and then we'll remind you about our Movember competition, and how you could give us money, and also how you could win prizes, which are separate. International rugby. Non-Southern Hemisphere teams, which is also the Northern Hemisphere. Matches from last week, Andorra versus Latvia, which I missed somehow. There's always, on the IRB website, there's always results that are there that weren't there as upcoming matches the last time. So, anyway.
Maybe they just spring them on the IRB at the last minute.
Perhaps they do. Perhaps they had them and the IRB was like, oh my god, who knew there was a rugby game on in Andorra? When they were playing Latvia, which they lost 34-21, I thought it was a nice seed.
Andorra lost.
Lost 34-21 to Latvia. Belgium beat the Ukraine in Brussels by 24 points to 11. Yeah, I thought the Ukraine would do better.
Yeah,
than
I thought the Ukraine would too as well.
They were in the sevens. Oh no, they were in the soccer. That's why I thought that would be good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Football.
Yeah, I suppose Belgium. I suppose it's their French playing sort of players from the south, and they might be quite good.
Yeah, they might be quite good. Malta lost to Croatia, 40 points to 18, which is quite a margin. Serbia and Montenegro beat Denmark 34-23 in Belgrade. And Greece, this is one that we picked the Danes, didn't we?
Probably did, yeah.
Yeah. And Greece versus Azerbaijan, which we picked, and as Dom pointed out, Azerbaijan probably didn't even have electricity. They lost 45-10. Greece, the winners in Athens.
Probably overawed, because Azerbaijan played in Greece, probably overawed by the modern architecture and stuff.
Yeah, looking around going, whoa, second world countries. It's so hard. Anyway, upcoming games. Moldova versus Germany in Moldova. You didn't even know Moldova was a country, did you?
I've never heard of it before. Yeah, you're just making that up.
No, that's not a real country. They're playing Germany.
Right.
I'm picking Germany.
I'll go for Germany because Moldova doesn't exist.
Well, so. I'll tell you what, I've never heard of this town. Chisinau. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. I don't know what Moldovans sound like. Chisinau.
Never even heard of Moldova, so.
Could be the capital of Moldova.
Probably is.
Dom would know. Or he would say he did. Morocco versus Namibia in Casablanca. This is the replay. Now, Morocco have to win this by a huge margin to become the African qualifier for the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, what happens if they don't win by a huge
then
margin?
Then Namibia. Right. Like, because Namibia beat them by, I think it was 20 points.
Yep.
And it's points aggregate. So Namibia have to win by more than 20 points.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're at home. They're in Casablanca. But I'm still picking Namibia.
I'm picking Namibia as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll see the Blue Eagles in the World Cup. Georgia versus Portugal at National Stadium in Georgia.
In Georgia.
I like that. National Stadium.
National.
Well, no, actually, that'd be if it was in Portugal.
That would be right too, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, National Stadium in Georgia. I don't imagine it's in English. I don't think it's called National Stadium.
No,
it would be, you know, Nashnak Stad or something like that.
Yeah, Stad, the National
Stadium. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm picking Georgia.
Yeah, I'll pick Georgia as well at home.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the last piece of international rugby is actually a big game and answers one of our questions from the other week.
Yeah,
Scotland playing Romania.
Wow. Romania's in the All Blacks group next World Cup as well.
Are they?
Mm.
So we should be watching this one intently.
We should. And taking notes.
I think the Scots are going to win.
I would probably go for the Scotland team as well.
Yes.
And it looks like they're playing at home.
So. Yes, they are. Yep. Yeah, Scotland's team's on the rise.
Apparently,
they did quite well. Well, not really well, but quite well. Last five nations.
Yeah, and
six
they,
nations.
They actually did well. Six nations. Yeah. They did better than I thought they would against the All Blacks as well on last year's end of year tour.
The Grand Slam tour.
Yeah, the Grand Slam tour.
We didn't field an entirely full strength team for
we
that.
We didn't field an entirely full strength team, and we were probably a little bit complacent. But even
yeah,
so,
because we'd just beaten England.
I thought Scotland did play quite well.
Yes, they did. Yes, absolutely right. IRB news. They've announced the nominees for Player of the Year. So, New Zealand fly half and last year's winner, Dan Carter. Australian fullback, Chris Latham. New Zealand captain, Richie McCaw. Flanker, which they don't mention. Ireland second rower, which I assume means lock.
He's a lock.
Paul O'Connell. And South Africa scrum half, Fourie Dupreez. So there you go. Who do you think is going to win out of that?
Dan Carter.
I'm thinking Dan Carter too.
I think he'll be the first to take it out in consecutive years.
Yep.
First player to win twice.
Is there no player won it twice?
I don't think so. It's only been going for 6 years or something. So I'm pretty sure that they haven't had the same player win twice. But yeah,
Definitely not twice in a row.
Definitely not twice in a row.
He's been playing incredibly well. I mean, the record-breaking performance against England, which we'll get to soon, should do it. Chris Latham's pretty good, but not great.
Well, if he was playing in the All Blacks, I think he'd probably go close.
Yeah, because he's got the team around him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Australia haven't been playing that well this year.
I don't know anything about Paul O'Connell.
He's pretty good. He was he came out here with the Irish in the middle of the year for those tests, and he's not a bad player.
Right.
So he's worthy of a nomination.
Fourie Dupreez?
Yeah, I can't remember much about Fourie Dupreez.
No,
neither
can I.
The South Africans change their halfback so often.
It's not like they had a great year.
No.
I know you can have an outstanding player in a team and the team suck and the player be awesome.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, there's got to be somebody. It was like someone in the French team. The French have been playing really
right.
well.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised at that nomination, to be honest.
No, I don't know.
So.
Anyway, they also, the IRB, announced the winner of Photo of the Year, the IRB's Photo of the Year, and I have put that up on the blog because obviously this isn't a medium in which we can show you the photo. So that's up on the blog, dropkicks.blogspot.com. Have a look. It's bloody cool.
That's awesome.
It's some Irish county player, or not even that, just Sunday player, covered in mud after a line out. It's just, it's extraordinary. And you click on it and you get a huge image you can put on your desktop wallpaper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's black and white as well.
It is black and white. And the IRB finally announced that the third phase of the Rugby World Cup 2007 ticketing program will be launched online on the 9th of November at 0800 Greenwich Mean Time. The organising committee will open sales for individual match tickets for the tournament. Previously, the previous two, and this is obviously the final one, the previous two ticket sales things were large package deals, and then they were team deals. So you could buy all the tickets for the All Blacks, or all the tickets for Ireland, or all the tickets for Namibia, even though they haven't qualified.
Yep.
Now you can buy them, just say, I want to go to Ireland versus Samoa or something. Which, by the way, Ireland versus Samoa I think would be a cool match.
I'd go and see that too.
I would definitely go and see Samoa versus Tonga.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
The Tongan Sivatau versus the Samoan, is it also called the Sivatau?
I don't know.
But that would be cool.
Yeah.
Or the All Blacks, Kapo Pango versus the Sivatau. Woo! Jeez. They'd actually have a fist fight afterwards.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. More on the haka to come, by the way. in Southern Hemisphere-related rugby, first of all, Australia 29, Wales 29. This is after Australia A lost to Wasps?
Ospreys.
Ospreys. In a exhibition warm-up match.
Midweek.
But George Gregan was playing, and they were saying that it was Australia A was, you know, you take that with a pinch of salt, was pretty close to being Australia.
Well, it was a pretty strong team. I mean, they didn't have any players in there that you'd never heard of, for instance.
Yeah.
They were all pretty much test players.
Wallabies or ex-Wallabies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or soon to be Wallabies. Yes, very, very interesting that.
Yeah.
And then they only draw with Wales, who had an entirely new, albeit entirely healthy, backline.
Yeah, it's the first time in Yonks that they've had their first choice backline available.
Yeah, and Australia only managing to get the draw, which wasn't so much Australia getting to the draw. They started out very strong. Chris Latham had an amazing try, and Wales just fought back, and Australia allowed them to. we're able to say this with such confidence because the next score is England 20, New Zealand 41.
41.
Record score, England's biggest loss at home.
At home, yep.
And obviously the biggest loss in Twickenham.
Yep.
Is it the largest combined score at Twickenham?
Probably would be.
Huge, huge game by the All Blacks. They dominated possession. I managed to catch the first half because it was at 4:30 in the morning in New Zealand. So I watched the replay at 8 and then had to go to work, so I couldn't see the second half. Stupid work.
Yeah.
Pay me, will they? they... I even had to bump my manager. Hope she's not listening.
Yeah.
She had this meeting schedule, and I was like, can we move that? I've got another meeting.
Oh, look, I'm sure you're not alone in this. I mean, yeah. Employers around the country must have thought of this. No, they didn't, actually.
Why were they playing it on a Sunday afternoon? I know that's a good time to play rugby, but not international rugby that has an international viewership and that the other half of the team, like the other team's fan base, has to get up at 4 on a Monday morning to watch it.
Yeah, I got really tired yesterday because I did get up at 4 to watch it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole game was a charity match, if you like.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
A charity match for the All Blacks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They made £1 million out of it, which is quite nice. But it was all to celebrate the opening of the Southern Stand at Twickenham.
Oh, was it?
Mm.
Oh, that's right, because we weren't actually supposed to play them. They asked if we would like to, and we said yes. We will take £1 million for that and ran away happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, forgot all about that.
And I don't think the English were terribly happy. Well, the English players probably weren't terribly happy about it because they had only, they'd only thought about 3 tests, the Pumas next week and 2 against South Africa. So an extra test.
Early as well.
It was a bit too, bridged too far. And the English bosses had to promise the clubs that they'd only use players for a maximum of 3 games.
Really?
Those 4 matches.
So that means that they're going to start a rotation policy.
They're going to have to be rotating their players.
Mm. It was a very, very fast-paced game, I thought. At least the first half was. The first few possessions, All Blacks looked like they wanted to move incredibly fast. They were just driving people into the ruck to clear them off the ball. And they were driving like 7 people into the ruck all the time, just straight through the middle, trying to clear people off the ball. And I noticed that the English were always trying to slow down the ball. And I'm not trying to say slow down the ball when the All Blacks had it. I mean, when they had it as well, they were trying to slow it down, whereas the All Blacks get to the ruck really quickly, pass it out really quickly, or run again. There was no like sort of slow down tactics by the All Blacks.
Oh, no, definitely. They wanted to play at a pace.
Yeah.
For sure. But I must say that I was quite impressed with the way England did play. They were a lot more adventurous than they were last year, which probably
helped
the score blow out. I reckon if they tried to play the same way they did last year, it might have been a lot closer, but they still would have lost.
Yeah.
But
and they've got that wing, what's his name, Saki. Damn.
Mm.
Saki. He's good.
He's light on his feet.
Yeah, he's fast, and he did that cutting run sort of across the middle of the field, crossing the wing, and whoo! Oh, and when Carl Heyman... Is that what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say the English media were dumbing him down because of his defence. They were saying, he's really good on attack, but he can't tackle and stuff. But there was one where Maanonu ran into him.
And he tried to
bowl him over, and Maanonu just stopped in his tracks. And
went backwards. Massive. That was so cool. Yeah, I remember watching that. But then again, I mean, when this guy was attacking, did this cross run. Got through 2 defenders, got to Carl Heyman, big, giant Carl Heyman, who actually had a great game.
He did.
Heyman nails him at about his knees,
yep.
Like, nails him in the knees, this guy, Saki. And Saki flies in the air and sort of goes head over heels.
Yes, I remember that. Yep.
Lands basically on his feet and keeps going for a couple of metres before I think it was Chris Masoi tackled him.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that. Oh my God, that's awesome.
That was quite spectacular.
Yeah.
They played it in slow motion afterwards as well.
Yeah. But other things to take from the game, Dan Carter had an amazing game. He scored a try and a whole bunch of conversions and some penalties.
For a total of 26 points.
26 points. The coolest penalty being from 54 metres out. He was on the 50-yard line and slightly to the side, making you mathematicians out there will know an angle along the hypotenuse of 54 metres. And the ball probably curved a little, so it's probably a bit longer than that.
Yeah.
And if... Damn, it made it.
I know.
Just went thunk over the bar.
Yeah, he did it perfect. Yeah, just trickled
just,
over.
Like, he went, I'm not overexerting myself. I'm going to kick this just enough to make it.
So I see 54.9 metres, I think it will be.
Yeah, yeah. At an exact angle of... it was absolutely amazing. 54 metres. And after that, they were like, well, that's going to be the final score of the half because there's only 2 minutes left in the half. In those 2 minutes, All Blacks scored 2 tries. One to Joe Rokotoko after an awesome run up the sideline, busting through a tackle and spinning and so forth.
Oh, no, that was setting up the second try.
Oh, was it?
The try he got was the intercept.
That's right. Yes, sorry, you're right. I got them mixed. Yeah. Rokotoko spinning, running, passing the ball off. Ma'anonu finding space.
Oh, yeah.
Blasting through the space, handing the ball off to, and this is going to take some memory.
I think it was Chris Jack.
It was Chris Jack, who, huge, long, rangy legs.
Yes.
Just ran for miles. And then he passed it off to...
Carl Heyman.
Carl Heyman stormed in, landed on the ball, and had a gigantic grin on his face. Yeah. Actually, the other big breakout, which ended up in our first try through Aaron Major, was Rico Gear down the wing, which was amazing. Broke just a little dummy that the English backs fell for. I don't know why they fell for it. If you can imagine, listeners, the sideline, there's an English defender on the sideline and another one coming in. Rico Gear runs up towards the one coming in, sort of does a little feint like he's going to go to the outside. The guy bites. There's a defender there. He doesn't have to bite, but he does. And Rico gets out on the outside. Another defender's coming up to tackle him. So he passes a huge pass out to...
Tony Woodcock,
the prop.
Steams up the middle.
There's nobody else there. Actually, he had run 100 metres.
I thought Tony was going to try and go for the try line himself.
I think he should have. I think he had the pace. I think he had the distance.
I think he had too.
10 metres out, he decides to cut back inside. He's a forward. It's what he does.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was only like a poxy fullback he had to run over. I mean,
yes.
Goodness. Tony? But that was good. That was a great game. And then Chris Masoe sent off.
That
which was a bit stink.
Was. And a terrible decision by the television match official.
I don't know if it was all that terrible. I thought it was a try,
definitely,
having said that.
Definitely a try.
Well, at least I would have given it as a try. But the TMO couldn't see the ball. And that's what he said.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That was the question that the referee asked was, can you see the ball? Was it a try?
Yep.
Not... And this is a major point that the IRB is picking up on, and the referee should have asked, is there any reason why I shouldn't have given this as a try?
Yes, absolutely. I think because we mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
He has to go with the attacking team.
That's right.
In order to have high-scoring games for Rupert Murdoch. upcoming games next week. Australia fly to Italy to play Italy. At Stadio Flaminio.
Flaminio? I thought I said Flamingo.
So did I. But it's a Flaminio. England play Argentina at Twickenham. Ireland play South Africa in Dublin. And France take on New Zealand at Stade de France.
Is it? I thought...
It's at Stade de France.
Oh, I thought it was in Lyon.
Well, this is... I just copy and paste.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Oh, no, hang on. I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think they play in Lyon
first. I'm pretty sure they play in Lyon first and then move off to Paris.
If they're playing in Lyon, I have no idea what the name of the stadium is there. Stade de Lyon. Okay, league. Oh, Jesus, there's been a lot of to do in the league. New Zealand has had a bit of trouble recently in the league. We had a player play, Nathan Fein, who is not a New Zealander. He's not even as much of a New Zealander as Brent Webb. He's
16th.
He's 1/16th. His great grandmother was a Kiwi, and that's it. Apparently, a lot of people knew this, and we fielded him anyway, which was so dumb.
Idiot.
So dumb. And now we've been docked competition points. Two,
which were all our competition points up to that stage.
Yep. And obviously, he's not allowed to play anymore.
No.
Anyway, so also in the league, Willie Mason proved unequivocally that he is a dick. More on him coming up later. by punching some fella, knocking him... he claims he knocked him out. He just knocked him to the ground. Looked like he went out cold, but the guy was on his hands and knees when he hit the ground. He claims that there was a to-do while they were wrestling on the ground, and then he punched him. If you watch the footage, they're standing up.
Yeah, Willie Mason said, "I saw his hand cocked, so I hit him first."
Yeah, he wanted to hit him first. Idiot. Dick. And he's been suspended for a game, one game.
One game, yeah.
Oh, he also put a high shot on, but later on in the game.
Yep.
Which he got also put on report for. Both incidents were seen by the referee, and both times he was not sent off. Oh, and England won that game, by the way. England beat Australia.
Yeah.
Take that, Willie. Dick. In other sports news, this is just my own thing that I saw the other day. In the NFL, which is the American Football League, which is currently in regular season, in the Cowboys-Redskins match, this is a rivalry that goes back years and years and years. It goes back right back to the beginning. It's like Canterbury-Auckland, but imagine that, but more intense, and everyone's on steroids.
So did they choose these names then after they made the rivalry, or was it... The name, yeah, like Cowboys, you know, versus Redskins.
No, they actually had the names first before there was a rivalry.
Wow.
Because they were just putting a division in, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, Redskins, yeah. Cowboys, yeah. So they were playing. Washington Redskins were at home. Dallas Cowboys were there. And it went into overtime. Now, in American football, overtime, it's the first team who scores.
Oh, yeah.
So often, a lot of it comes down to the coin toss. You just get close enough, kick a field goal.
Right?
So that's what happened. Cowboys got within a field goal range, and they're all there. And American football, all your guys line up in a big U shape, and they flick the ball back to someone who catches the ball, and they kick it. You've probably seen it on the TV, where all the other guys try and rush to knock it down.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Really?
The Reds, like the Dallas guy, kicked it.
Yep.
The Redskins knocked it down, which you're then allowed to recover. It's just like rugby.
Okay.
So they recovered it.
Yep.
And ran it all the way down to the other end,
yep,
where the guy was tackled, and set them up for the winning field goal. So it was the first time in NFL history that the playbook had ever said, field goal attempted, missed, field goal.
Wow.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Wake around the world. What? What'd you do?
Wake around the world times three.
I don't know if that's legal.
I don't know.
We'll have to check that.
Try it.
Okay. Takeru Kobayashi. We all remember Takeru Kobayashi, the amazing eater.
Oh, yes.
Who was going in to eat those square hamburgers. Down 97 of them in 8 minutes. The old record, which was also held by Kobayashi, which he set in 2004, was 69.
Good grief.
Now, we were talking about Joey Chestnut, and he does actually have a nickname. He's Joey Jaws Chestnut. Why isn't he just Joey the Chestnut? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he once again came in second to Kobayashi, who is just the most amazing eater in the world. But Joey managed to eat 91 burgers, and third placed Pat Bertoletti of Chicago ate 76. So the first, second, and third place people all actually broke the old record.
Good grief. US gym bans member for grunting.
Oh, lovely. Good. Good.
A US fitness club with a long list of do's and don'ts for its members has expelled one of them for grunting. Oh, I love this name.
Al Arjibay.
A corrections officer reportedly emitted several grunts earlier this week while lifting weights and was escorted out of Planet Fitness in suburban New York by police officers called in by management.
Well, fair enough. He's a corrections officer, therefore he's got guns.
Yeah.
He's lifting weights, so he's obviously buff. I'm going to call the police to get rid of him as well. Athlete of the Week.
Athlete.
You've got some nominations. I'll do mine first. Takeru Kobayashi. Once again, eating more than any fat American can eat, including Pat Bertoletti of Chicago. 97 hamburgers, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome indeed.
Yeah.
I was going to nominate Dan Carter, but he's probably going to win the IOB Player of the Year anyway, so... Oh, own goals. Oh,
that's right.
Own goals.
Own goals. The Knights won their very first game of the season. The
New Zealand
Knights playing in the Aussie Football League thing, soccer to some people out there. They won through an own goal by the other team. Own goals is now the leading goal scorer for the Knights.
with two goals. Own goals is leading. And it is exactly one more than the next goal scorer down. And there's two guys on one.
Right. 100% more than them.
100% more than them. And so they're averaging 0.36 goals a game.
Yep. But if you take out the own goals, they're scoring a goal every five games.
That is just so pathetic.
That is terrible.
So, so we're nominating own goals as Athlete of the Week. Oh, actually, that's pretty tough. Dan Carter, who actually did really well.
Yep.
Takira Kobayashi, who ate a lot. Or own goals, who isn't even a player, but has scored more than anyone on the Knights team.
Japanese guy.
The Japanese eater?
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
He's a world champion.
Yeah.
And just broke a record by... I mean, how many did he break it by? By 32. He ate 32 more hamburgers than he did last time.
Nah, that's got to be good enough for me.
All right, Athlete of the Week. Dick of the Week.
Let me think about this one.
There's the New York gym, and yep. Who was the other one? Who could it be?
Some guy.
Yeah, Willie Mason, you dick. You already won. You knew you won the second you took the field.
Maybe that's all he does. Is like he goes out to win our award every week.
Perhaps he does. Yeah, perhaps he's heard it. Perhaps he's listening right now.
Perhaps it's like it's this highlight of the week when he gets to this bit of the podcast and it's like, I've won it again.
Yeah, well, they have to keep saying my name. So next week when he's out, when he's not playing, he's going to have to, like, do something completely
shocking. Maybe a streak or something on the field.
Oh, no, he'll go drunk driving or something. Punch someone in a bar or spit on them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie Mason has become the new Wendell Sailor. Yeah, so Dick of the Week. Boo. Boo. And that's it. We've had quite a bit of reader mail, listener mail, over the past week or so.
Yeah, they could read as well. The blog.
You know. Well, they could read the blog, and please do. We've got a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah.
James has been doing a hell of a lot of good work, putting up some All Black Diaries, which were very funny.
Oh, they were.
Jerry Collins talking about his guns.
I actually thought they were made up, and then I went to the New Zealand Rugby site, and there they were.
Yeah, Dan Carter stealing tins of spaghetti.
It's like,
what the hell? Anyway, so we've had a lot of reader mail. We won't read it out this week. We'll read it out next week. So if you've got any that you want to throw in, throw them in.
Throw it in.
Dropkicks.podcast@gmail.com. All right, but our competition is still going. We're still growing our mustaches. If you want to sponsor us, there's a link on the blog, dropkicks.blogspot.com. Go there. Look for the bit that says Movember. And there's instructions there on how you can sponsor us. But how can you win prizes? I hear that's what you're asking. How can you win prizes? It's all about you.
Me. Oh, them.
No, I'm talking. I know I'm pointing, sort of, which is stupid because they can't see me. But I'm talking to them, the listeners,
the important them ones. Out there.
Them out there. How you can win it is we're going to put up some photos on the blog of us growing our mustaches, but it's only going to be from the nose to the Adam's apple, roughly area. You have to guess who it is. We're not at the moment. We're still discussing whether we want to do this as like a series, so you pick whose series it is at the end of the month, or whether we're going to do it weekly and cumulatively. But there will be details on the blog very soon, because James is sorting out all the technical stuff. I can't even say the word, so that's why I'm not doing it. It'll be up there soon.
Technical.
Yep. Right, so that's us for another week.
Technical.
You got a last word?
Nuclear.
Nuclear. Yeah. Alright, that'll do. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Oh, and this music was done by Twinset. Thank you, Twinset. Your music is awesome.
Yay, Twinset.